This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
So one other interesting thing that happened over the weekend, it happened on Sunday after the Mets pitched a game in which they lost to the Cardinals 8-7, 9-8, something like that. Doesn't matter. David Peterson pitched four scoreless innings. He walked a bunch of guys. So he wasn't thrilled. But bottom line was he didn't allow a run in four innings, and he's got really good spring training numbers. Tyler McGill did not pitch well. His defense behind him wasn't good. He also walked five guys. But overall, McGill's had a good camp. I'm not going to freak out over what happened against the Cardinals on a Sunday. But Buck Showalter said the Mets are considering a six-man rotation first turn through. And it makes a lot of sense first turn around because, as we've talked about, the Mets don't have an off day. And there isn't going to be any rainouts because they're playing in Miami and they're playing in Milwaukee with the Domes. So they are going to play, barring something unforeseen, seven consecutive games to start the year, and then probably an eighth because their opening day is at Citi Field on a Thursday afternoon. I only say probably eight because that there could be a snow out. There could be a rain out at Citi Field. Can't rule that out. So they are scheduled to play eight consecutive games to start the year. At minimum, there'll be seven. And keeping Verlander fresh and keeping Scherzer fresh and even keeping Senga fresh, who is not used to pitching on 4 days rest, it's going to be paramount. It's going to be important. And if you want to come right out of the gate, I think it does two things, by the way, coming right out of the gate with six guys. Number one, you keep everybody fresh right from the beginning. You're asking guys to now up their pitch count and up their workload immediately out of spring training. Doesn't hurt to give them an extra day. But the other perk of it is you almost extend the competition between David Peterson and Tyler McGill. You almost say to both guys, look, you both have sort of earned this. David Peterson was more consistent over the course of 2022 every time he was asked to fill into the rotation. But Tyler McGill was great in April. He was fantastic. So you're almost telling both guys, hey, look, you're in the rotation. And then you see what happens first turnaround, second turnaround, and go from there. If they do go six-man and Buck sticks with the plan of Scherzer pitching the opener and Verlander pitching the home opener, that would leave them pitching on back-to-back days. Then you don't need to split them up. So you could go right out the gate, Max Scherzer on the opener against the Marlins, Justin Verlander day two, let's say Carrasco and Senga, 3 and 4. You may want to split them up, by the way. I'm not saying this would be the order. Then you go Peterson, McGill for the first two games in Milwaukee. Scherzer makes his second start to wrap up the series in Milwaukee, and that lines Verlander up, extra day of rest to pitch the home opener. So we'll know early, because I do trust that that be their plan, symbolically, to have Scherzer pitch opening day, Verlander to pitch the home opener. But if they're going to go six-man rotation, then they would keep those guys back-to-back. I think it's a great idea, and I hope the Mets do it. I'm a proponent. I said this before the injury to Quintana. I would consider six-man the entire season. I would. Now, if guys get hurt and we're already down Quintana for 3 months, but let's say you're down another guy, you could keep it at five. I don't think you have to necessarily always keep it at six, but I wouldn't have an issue in April of all months. Why not? There's going to be rainouts. There's going to be doubleheaders. And that's the time of year where you just want to make sure for the two old guys and for Kodai Senga, who's getting used to a new baseball, he's getting used to a pitch clock, he's getting used to being in America, he's getting used to not having the extra day all the time. I'd keep that going for the entire month. And if both guys pitch well, I would definitely keep it going for the entire month.
So this is really good too, because I know Scherzer says he likes to pitch more, but as a whole, we really have to concentrate and consider the fact that last year he wasn't healthy. And not saying that it's because of the amount of innings he pitched or whatever the case is, but we want to make sure that towards the end of the season, he is healthy. So, and let's be fair, if he's having a good game, you're not really going to want to pull him, you know, if he throws 100 pitches right away. Like, what you want to give him length in the game he's pitching, but this allows you or us to monitor his innings, and we'll be able to stretch him out, and he can't stay in the game longer. You know, because he doesn't pitch as frequently. He's got that extra day off. So where you're saying it's like, what, 32 starts typically? It's going to be more like 27, 28.
Yeah, if you take 162 and you divide it by six, that's only 27 starts. So if you stuck with a firm six-man rotation and there were no injuries and there were no skipping starts, you're making 27 starts. And I think the sweet spot number, assuming there's no injury, to Verlander and Scherzer is right around that number. Like, that would be the number I'd feel good at, because this isn't about, hey, I want them to make 33 starts. I don't think we live in that world anymore. As much as I used to love that, you know, starting pitchers making 30 starts, throwing 200 plus innings, trying to win a Cy Young, I would have no emotional attachment to Scherzer or Verlander winning another Cy Young. Like, I don't care. When R.A. Dickey won a Cy Young, it was a big deal for us. When Jake won his Cy Youngs, it was a big deal for us. Verlander or Scherzer adding on a Cy Young, whatever. I don't care about that. I just want them ready to go in October. And both guys, throughout their careers, more recently than ever, have shown you the propensity of not pitching well in October. And it could be connected to being worn down. So 27 is I like that number. And I'd sign for it today, because it means they're not spending extended visits on the injured list, which nobody can predict. I can't sit here. That's going to be the toughest thing about our Met predictions when we make them next week. How the hell do you predict injuries? You can't. I mean, who the hell saw Edwin Diaz jumping up and down and tearing up his patella, whatever the hell he teared up?
I'm sure Frank the Tank had that before the spring training started.
He nailed it. Yeah, he was the one. The Mets claimed Dennis Santana off of waivers. He's out of options, so I guess he's in the mix to make the back end of this bullpen, which has more open spots than we thought because of Edwin Diaz going on the IL. But also, have we heard an update on Brooks Raleigh? Like, is he going to not be on the injured list right out the gate? We also know Zach Green's out. They returned him back to the Yankees a couple of days ago. So we'll see if this Dennis Santana can get himself in the mix. One other thought on the DJ Stewart cycle that he hit. The last spring training cycle was by a Met in 2020. Jashwenny Fargas had a cycle. How about that? And it reminds me of the most epic spring training performance I've ever seen. And it's not Butch Husky. I want to warn you. As great as Butch Husky was back in the day, I don't know why this one is so vivid in my memory. It's probably because I missed baseball so much. But in 1995, obviously, it was a mess. They were going with the replacement players, and then eventually there was a settlement between the owners and the players, and they started spring training like April 5th.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
So we had a quick spring training, but it was an April spring training. And then they started the year last week of April. So we were all just gassed for baseball, excited for baseball. And Henry Rodriguez, left-hand hitting outfielder, played for the Expos, played for the Dodgers, had a pretty good career. Henry Rodriguez hit 4 home runs against the Mets in a spring training game in 4 at-bats. Home run, home run, home run, home run. I think the last one, and I don't even know if you could look this up, was on a 3-0 pitch, which stuck with me. Like, this son of a bitch, he so wants 4 home runs in a spring training game. No one's going to remember this, except I remember this. That was the problem. Henry was right. And he had a huge spring training, hit the 4 home runs, and it may have been like the last or the second to last day of spring training. And for whatever reason, that performance sticks out to me. That's the most, if someone ever asks me, and no one did, but I brought it up myself, hey, Evan, what's the most epic spring training performance you've ever seen? I'll always say it was Henry Rodriguez, man. Dodgers, Mets, spring training, you know, back in the day when the Dodgers trained in Florida at Dodger Town, Vero Beach. That guy hit 4 home runs against the Mets, and I have no idea what he did that season. Probably had a bad year.
Well, I can get clarification on one thing. He batted 405 in spring training, and the final home run, according to Bob Nightingale, was on a 3-0 count.
That's right. It was on a 3-0 pitch. By the way, how about this? I'm so proud of myself. In 1995, Henry Rodriguez had one of the worst seasons of his career. Shows you what spring training means. He was actually traded to the Expos in the middle of the year. So for the season, he missed a lot of time. He must have been hurt. He played 45 games. He hit .239 with 2 home runs and 15 RBIs. The following year, where he doesn't hit 4 home runs in his spring training game, he hit 36 home runs, 103 RBIs, .887 OPS, one of the best years of his career. So clearly, that 4 home run game, you could say either sparked him a year later or it caused him to have a really crappy 1995.
I just want to bring up something of note, and just because I'm watching live right now the World Baseball Classic, and Trey Turner has hit another home run. He's now got 3 home runs in 2 games. Thank goodness that this division is now, we don't have to play teams 19 times, because he's going to be a pain in the ass in Philly's uniform. And I made a tweet yesterday, and people were like, oh, he never wanted to come to New York, blah, blah. The fact is that the Mets were considering him to maybe play for this team, figuring out how to make it happen. And true, maybe he wanted to play shortstop. If the Mets were really serious about bringing Trey Turner in, they gave Carlos Correa a contract. They gave him an offer for a ton of money. If the Mets were really serious, they probably, I mean, honestly, could they have gotten Trey Turner to play anything else besides shortstop to come here? He wants to play on the East Coast. He says how much he loves New York or playing in Citi Field. Was that even a real possibility?
My guess is probably not, but it's just a guess. You know, if you the fact that he was going to have to move positions, he didn't have that connection to Lindor that Correa did, where Correa was willing to move positions, but only to be teammates with Francisco Lindor. The question I have about the Mets, and it's such a weird nitpick because Steve Cohen has spent so much money, and I'll get to his season ticket gift in a second because I think he spent a lot of money on that too. The timing of the Met offseason was always very weird to me. You know, the message they sent to Aaron Judge that was revealed in the Athletic expose on the Judge negotiations was that the Mets said to Aaron at the winter meetings, look, we need to sort out our pitching and then we'll talk to you. And it's like, what? Why can't you do two things at once? Clearly, Steve Cohen didn't have a budget. Clearly, Steve Cohen wasn't working under a payroll parameter. So if you knew the pitching situation was, hey, we're going to lose DeGrom. We don't really want him. We're going to replace him with Verlander. And Taijuan Walker, Chris Bassett, we really want Kodai Senga, Jose Quintana. You can do all of that while negotiating with a big bat. And if you were willing, and here's what I agree with you, Pete. If you're willing to give $300 plus million out, I like you, and I think most people would have preferred Trey Turner over Carlos Correa because Trey Turner's better. I don't think that's a controversial statement, is it? Trey Turner's better. I'm an independent observer on this. We don't have a connection to either guy other than the fact that Correa was a Met for about a week and a half, and Turner, you know, we saw him in the National League East for a long time, and we're going to see him in the National League East for a longer time now. So I don't know if the Mets were ever going to get him. I would say probably not, and that's why it doesn't cause me sleepless nights. Same thing with Judge. The Mets were never getting Aaron Judge. They just weren't. Aaron Judge wanted to stay with the Yankees. God bless him. Trey Turner wasn't moving off shortstop and probably had a preference for Philadelphia because of his relationship with Bryce Harper. With that said, Trey Turner is a tremendous baseball player, and it sucks that he's back in the National League East. It does. And credit to the Philadelphia Phillies. They had this weird year where they underachieved in the regular season, were fortunate to make the playoffs, got hot at the right time and went to the World Series, and they still had a really aggressive offseason. They still didn't do what the Mets did after 2000, which was, we won the pennant. We can lose Mike Hampton. We don't have to go after A-Rod. The Phillies took a very aggressive approach after winning the pennant, which I commend them for. I do. But don't let Turner cause you sleepless nights, Pete. I don't think the Mets were ever getting him. I really don't.
It'll be a sleepless night when he's walking games off of the Phillies against the Mets.
Dude, he's a tremendous player. And the one thing that helps the Mets a little bit, and I'm not talking about the amount of games against the Phillies, because you're right, there's just a lot less games against your division rivals, but you're still competing with them. You still have to finish with a better record than them to win the National League East. But no Bryce Harper for the first few months weakens that lineup a little bit. But it is a fearsome lineup. When you think about Castellanos, who's going to have a bounce back year, Kyle Schwarber, who gives us all nightmares, Rhys Hoskins in a contract year, Trey Turner, Alec Bohm, who's become a player, JT Realmuto. It is a very, very good lineup. There's no denying that. That's a very, very good lineup. And the Phillies are likely to win a hell of a lot more games than they won last year. But we'll get to that when we make our predictions. And we've got a lot of predictions podcasts coming up. We're going to do one specifically on the Mets, specifically on player performances and the team's overall performance. And then we'll have one where we'll go more around the National League East and the rest of the National League and the rest of baseball.